Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, it's time for a season preview, dude. It doesn't matter that it's 4 months late.
Hey, we'll take it whenever we can get it, dude. Who cares?
Dude, we've been working it up today. We've been building up to it. There's all kinds of news bubbling around the NHL. Actually, not much has happened at all, but does everyone know there's no more lockout?
Hey, like Kevin Westgarth, dude. Kevin Westgarth.
And Mark Fistrick. I am actually honestly surprised that there's been almost no signings of some guys. You know, some decent players still out there. Jason Arnott and other players, you know, who are still useful are not signed. Some guys are on tryouts. You know, we saw Brad Winchester's on a tryout with Calgary, you know, and some other players like that. A couple of minor trades. But no other real big moves. I see you looking at the UFA list. I mean, some of these guys have kind of inferred that they're going to hang up their skates. Like Brian Ralston sounds like he's done, you know, but there are some, and Andrew Burnett, it sounds like he's done. Knubel's basically done. Holmstrom's done. But you know, Chris Campoli is, you know, a guy that I know that you appreciate as a player. I mean, he's a useful guy, certainly better than some of the other team's third pairing defensemen, and he's available. A guy like Christian Huselius, I find it strange that no one's willing to run at him.
I thought he retired.
Oh, did he retire?
I thought he did. Okay. He's been having some sort of hip problem, I think, the last couple of years.
Other guys there, I mean, Marco Sturm. I mean, he played a role for the Panthers last year.
Marco Sturm, I see on this list. You said Campoli. Jay Pandolfo, I think, is on a tryout somewhere.
Yeah, actually, I'm looking at this list.
Dominic Moore. We haven't mentioned Dominic Moore.
Yeah, you know, Dominic Moore, I think he's probably not going to play this year. You got to figure he's probably not going to play this year, right?
He's got to be with his family. I mean, you know, we found out his wife was hurt. Or his wife was obviously ill, and his wife just recently passed, a week or two ago. It's hard for me to believe that he's going to be in any kind of shape to want to say, hey, you know, my wife just passed away, and I have some small children. Why don't I go play some hockey?
A player that I like, Blair Betts. I mean, he's a pretty useful fourth line guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's not bad. I mean, certainly in a situation where we're going to start talking about Sharks camp, you know, a guy like Blair Betts could probably be fairly competitive against some of the other younger players that we have up running around. Hey, Jonathan Chichu's on that list, dude. Jonathan Chichu.
There's some interesting...
Peter Sikora, unsigned. I mean, he had a pretty good run last year with New Jersey. No huge impact players, but hey, Patrick Rismiller is on an AHL deal. You know, with the Worcester Sharks. So.
Yep.
But I guess I thought there'd be some more movement or things happening. Even with the Sharks' own restricted free agents, there's been nothing happening with three of the guys who are not signed. You know, Tim Kennedy, I guess it's not that surprising because now that he's hurt, he's not really in a position to come in and help right away. Mm-hmm. Although he's having, you know, a really good year for Worcester, and he was a regular player in Buffalo a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
I mean, Nick Petrecki unsigned, and James Shepherd, a guy who I think a lot of people think is going to be in the bottom six, unsigned.
Right.
So as we creep towards the opening of the season, there's still some unfinished business here.
Really, as we race towards the beginning of the season, because it's next
it feels
weekend.
Like a creep right now, dude. Nothing's happening.
Dude, there's games in less than 7 days. Am I right about this?
That's right. Now, did you see the Sharks announce some of the things they're going to do for the fans? Did you see this?
Thanks again for coming back. I think there was a really funny Down Goes Brown. It's like, thanks for coming back. And then there was an asterisk. Not you, Scott Gomez.
Oh, wow. That's cold, don't you think?
Yeah.
It's cold.
Hey, if I could get paid $5.5 million to sit on my ass at home, I'd
just
take it.
Well, let him play for a for the ECHL. Let him.
They're
let
worried
him.
About him getting hurt. They're worried about him becoming Mike Rathje and collecting his salary for 2 years after he played his last NHL game because he's unable to play.
So they just want him to sit out this year and they'll buy him out next year.
That's exactly right. And they don't want him to get hurt. If he does get hurt sitting at home, then it's not the team's fault. Then he won't be on an IR in that
case. Oh, well, I guess there's worse problems in life.
I suppose.
Go, you know, get Netflix and enjoy yourself, Scott Gomez.
Netflix streaming, watch Downton Abbey like I'm watching.
Hey, hang out with Keith Kachuk and get super uber fat. Enjoy.
Now known as Kachuk fat.
Oh, I'm going to be one of the Keebler cookie elves. I'm just going to shovel delicious fudge stripe cookies in my mouth and collect my checks.
I have to say, dude, it's great to be in good spirits about hockey again.
Yeah. You know,
there was such a period of months where everything was so dreary, and now I'm just excited. We're looking at Cap Geek, where we did our year-long bet for drafting the Stanley Cup winner, which we'll get to in a minute. We're starting fantasy. We have people to make fun of in the news. It's so great.
I gotta say, I'm looking around the podcast studio right now and it is filthy, dude. It is filthy,
dude. It's not that bad.
It is. I mean, I see all kinds of garbage on the ground. I see unwashed clothes. I see paper plates and utensils and, you know, dirty dishes. Dude, what's the deal? You have Tyler Seguin staying at your house? Hey!
Yeah. Hey! I don't have the rim shot sound already. Sorry.
That was a long way to go for that.
Yeah.
Dude, that is the best story so far. I don't even care if it's true.
My favorite part about the whole story by far is the fact that there was like $200 in change on the ground. That was the best. He just like took his change and he's just like, just throws it on the ground. Woo! I don't need this euro, 2 euro coin. I don't even know what this means. What's a euro? Don't they have dollars in Europe?
Maybe the funniest part of that story, and those of you who don't know, there's a report, you know, that I guess it was in Switzerland, right? That was in Swiss? Yeah,
Swiss League.
That Tyler Seguin was living in an apartment. It was so filthy that the house cleaners came over there were like embarrassed, you know, because he was like living in a pile of his own filth.
Yeah.
Not quite like hoarders, you know, but gross.
Yeah.
And I love that whoever wrote it, I think it might have been Wyszynski, threw in that Patrick Kane's mother was living with him and that's why he did so well.
You know, like, it's true.
I know, but these are full-grown adult men. Right? I mean, these are adult men. Right?
I know. And sometimes you need articles like this to really sort of make it sink in how sheltered these guys have been. Apparently, he tried to wash his clothes in the dryer. So he put the clothes in the dryer. I don't know what he did. Maybe poured laundry detergent over the top of it. Oh, and my then, God.
Yeah. I had a roommate in college, put Pine Sol in the dishwasher once. And we came home and the kitchen was flooded and we had to call poison control and sweep the water out of the kitchen.
Oh my God.
And he wasn't even home when he got home. He was humiliated.
That's funny.
It was good.
At least he had the good sense to be humiliated. I somehow have a feeling that if that story didn't come out, Tyler Seguin would not have been humiliated at all.
He denies it.
Right. I'm sure he does. Mom, phone! Oh, man.
That's good stuff, dude.
Mercy.
Well, you know, we're going to talk about the Sharks camp. I guess we should start there, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, three things I think I want to talk about, dude. First of all, we know the training camp roster of the guys who are in camp right now. It's the usual suspects of guys, plus Fraser McLaren, James Shepard, John McCarthy, Bracken Kearns, Matt Irwin, Matt Tennyson, Nick Petrecki, and Matt Pelich. Mm-hmm. The name that I thought was interesting is not there is Brandon Mashinter.
Mm-hmm.
And
I noticed you tweeted at Kevin Kurz about it today.
I did. I was a Twitter machine. I actually was tweeting with the San Francisco Bulls vice president today, too.
And co-owner.
I know.
I looked the guy up.
Because I had read a report that he was, and he didn't play the other night in Worcester, and maybe he's hurt. I don't know, but he's not here. Interesting name to not have be around just because I think they had kind of high hopes for this guy, and it looks like maybe it's not quite panning out.
Would be explained if he was hurt, though.
Yeah, would be explained if he was hurt. Although he's not having a great year in the AHL, you know, so maybe they figured, how is he going to have a good camp?
Right.
But at least he's kind of been around. I mean, he's played, you know, 20 NHL games or something like that.
So, dude, who are you looking to make waves here? I think we both have a name on D that we think is probably going to make the club because there are injuries, right? There's two, well, really three injuries. We have Braun, we have Demers, and we have, who am I missing?
Brent
Burns.
Yeah.
All of whom are banged up at this point, which is weird considering they've been off for 4 months. But, you know, Burns not being back from a groin injury scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, that's not good. And he's not out there skating with the team. I mean, at least Demers was out there skating with the team in a non-contact jersey, reportedly. And Braun supposedly is ready to go. You know, he's declared himself ready to go for Sunday in Calgary. So I don't know if we have to worry so much about Justin Braun, but Brent Burns, it doesn't look good right now in terms of him being available for the first weekend and definitely in the short term. And, you know, maybe they're just being real careful, you know, because that's a long-term investment with Brent Burns. I mean, this is a long-term investment.
Yeah, you want to do the right thing by this guy. But in terms of, you know, like every sport has its killer injuries. You know, we saw RG3 go down with a ACL tear. You know, ACL is particularly bad for basketball players. But for hockey players, the bad injuries for hockey players are generally ankle injuries, which Sidney Crosby actually had early on in his career. And groin injuries are terrible for hockey. I had a groin injury playing hockey, and you can walk around, you can run around, and you feel fine. You step on the ice, you do a couple moves, and it's like, ow, what the hell just happened? It's so weird how you use muscles in a way that you don't normally on the ice that you do walking around and even exercising. So I definitely worry about groin injuries because they're not easy to come back from.
I heard that Tyler Seguin's house cleaners also got a groin injury trying to pick up all his stuff. Just
bending and stooping and bending and stooping.
So I think the names that pop out to me just based on what the pairings are right now is it sure looks like they're going to give Matt Irwin the first shot.
That appears to be the situation.
He's being paired with Dan Boyle right now. Vlasic and Stewart are a pair, and Braun is playing with
Murray,
right. So, you know, Matt Irwin's going to get first crack, and I guess we should move now to the bottom six forwards. The top six seems pretty set in stone,
right?
You know, with those guys, you know, barring some sort of injury, but, you know, the bottom six also, I think, you know, the five guys who are locked in, you know, like it or not, Michael Hanzus, I think is going to be there. Desjardins, Wingles, Gagliardi, and Burrish are there. Who's that sixth guy, dude?
Well, you know how I feel. I'd like to see him take a flyer on an offensive minded player like James Sheppard. I would much rather see a guy who maybe can be a little dangerous in certain situations against probably not top lines from the other team. I wouldn't mind seeing something like that. So maybe Sheppard can do something. That's what I'd like to see.
Well, I would like to see them do a line that, you know, has some speed, some ability to put the puck in the net, but they can also have some grit to it. And if they do a Sheppard, Gagliardi, Wingles line, I mean, that line could be really annoying because Wingles and Gagliardi are annoying.
Yes.
And I don't know about James Sheppard. I mean, he has 50 plus penalty minutes in the AHL this year, which seems a little out of character. I don't really know how he accumulated them, but I don't think he's really known in his career for being
lots of diving,
having a lot of edge, you know, but if you put him in the middle of those two guys, you know, and you have Wingles play on a wing, you know, it could be interesting. And then your fourth line is Hanzus, Burrish, and Desjardins, you know, and you can kind of move Desjardins around and situationally and have him and Burrish too. And even Hanzus, I guess. But yeah, I agree. James Sheppard has the advantage right now of having a pretty good year in the AHL, and they've been watching him. And if they sign him, get him signed, then I think he's got the leg up. Maybe who's the other player in there that you think maybe has a shot of staying as the extra forward? They're probably going to keep at least one more guy.
All right, so go through those names again for me.
Fraser McLaren, John McCarthy, Bracken Kearns. That's it for the forwards.
As much as I would like to see Fraser McLaren stay with the club, and he made the news, I think he made Puck Daddy a few days ago with a really nice, good quality tilt, long tilt in the AHL, good fight. I think they're probably going to go with John McCarthy. He was the, you know, sort of the one of the best players on the Worcester Sharks last year and the year before. He's been a really sort of steady presence. And by steady presence, I mean he's practically invisible. And which actually, as a fourth line player, isn't necessarily all of that bad. A lot of times these fourth line guys that are coming up from Worcester, you notice them when they totally screw up. And I wouldn't say John McCarthy falls in that camp, but he's certainly, at least so far, been nothing to really remember. And maybe for the Sharks, that's good enough.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting when they were talking about Matt Irwin, or there was an article written by David Pollack, I think, today, or Kevin Kurz, about Matt Irwin and, you know, the 6 days he had last year. He didn't play in a game, but he was around the team, and they felt like that was very valuable and kind of giving him a leg up on someone like Matt Tennyson, who, mm-hmm. you know, I think they like as a player, but, you know, they feel like just even Irwin being around the team for a week kind of gives him an extra advantage of understanding what it's like to be part of the NHL.
Right.
So, you know, while my preference, I think, would be along with what you're saying, is to have Fraser McLaren stay, I think that we could see them go with John McCarthy just to have him also be around the team. But it's not like he hasn't played. I mean, he's also played, I think, in, you know, a handful of games, you know.
More than that.
And I'd rather see him playing every night in Worcester than just kind of hanging out, you know. Whereas, you know, Fraser McLaren, we know what he is, you know. Yeah. I mean, he is what he is, and you play him in a matchup situation where, you know, if you're playing Vancouver, you're going to see Fraser McLaren and maybe Hanzu sits, you know. Mm-hmm. But John McCarthy just kind of hanging around, I don't know if that makes sense to me. I think they're going to keep an extra D, too, especially with the injuries that are going on, the uncertainty of Demers and even Braun and Burns' long-term health. If you had to pick an extra guy out of this, you know, group, not having seen them play a moment, what's your guess?
Well, I mean, Akolats is not in camp. I mean, no. I might go with him if everybody was on the table. But, you know, I can't even wager a guess because I don't know anything about these guys.
Right.
You know, I mean, you got anybody?
Well, I guess my guess would be Matt Pelletz, just because, one, I don't think they have a long-term...
He seems like a bottom-pairing defenseman in the AHL.
Well, I think he has played games in the NHL, this guy. And, you know, Patrecki and Tennyson also... I mean, but you could make the other argument, too, for the Irwin situation. Maybe it would benefit one of those guys just to be around, mm-hmm. you know, just to be around, especially if they think one of them is a long-term solution. So, hell, dude, we're just guessing.
Yeah.
We are... You know, this is, shall we call the segment Helen Keller?
Yeah, we're peeing in the
wind. That's how I feel like right now.
Peeing in the wind.
You're talking about things that just because we haven't seen these guys play, you're just plain old guessing. But I think Shepherd and Irwin are pretty good guesses to be the guys who are going to be in the opening night lineup.
I think so. Okay, dude, should we move on? Do we want to talk about fantasy and then do the Western Conference preview?
Sure.
Okay, so... We got some pings about fantasy. People are into fantasy.
Yeah, we have a 20-team league this year. That's what we decided to do. So instead of having four different leagues, which was just wildly out of control, we decided to do one mega league, which I know is going to make for just an epically painful draft. And there's going to be people who are going to have Michael Hanzus on their fantasy team because you have to have a certain number of players. I think that's going to make it fun because it's going to make the draft really important.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of trades, you know, and not a lot of waiver wire action, which is where I've done some of my best work in the past.
It's true. It's going to hurt you more than a lot of people.
Yeah. But I think it's going to make the league more active, you know, whereas we've seen trades just be few and far between in our leagues because guys are afraid to pull the trigger on moves. And you could always find a 30-40 point guy on the waiver wire to get you through like a problem.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, not gonna happen.
Not gonna happen.
You're gonna have to make a deal in order to stay competitive if something
you're not gonna
wrong.
Find Jason Blake on the waiver wire.
That's right. Yeah, actually you might. He might not be playing. So we decided we're gonna go through the list of names and ours excluded and identify the best name and the worst.
Right. So Super Dudes, I think it's, you know, it's not a great name, but we have to be identified.
Yeah.
So,
oh, dude.
We're not going for
it. You can't criticize that name.
I'm not saying. So you know, we shouldn't say all the names because there's a lot of teams that we've seen in our leagues before that I'm sure are going with the legacy.
Okay.
Like the Boiler Room, the Jerk List. I've seen these teams before, behind enemy lines and so forth. Okay, so what about the new one, the new names that are trying to be original, funny? I'm going to throw it out there. I think my favorite name, my number one, I think, is Rock Out With Your Lockout. That is my favorite. I think that is an excellent play on words, as it were.
I definitely have a favorite, dude.
Yeah?
And my favorite is, Why Do I Keep Coming Back? I think that is the best name I've ever heard, dude. That is a great name.
Yeah, yeah.
There's and also, I think another name that I appreciate is... I don't touch salmon.
Yeah, that's a good one because that has sort of a double meaning.
Yeah. I like that one too.
Yeah. Ding Dong Burke is dead. That's pretty good.
Ding Dong Burke's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Yeah, I'm rethinking it. I do like I don't touch salmon. I think that's...
I don't understand Bunchback Toad. That doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm Lester Cousin. There's some names that just make no sense.
Buns in the Oven. I'm curious about who's the owner of Buns in the Oven.
I don't know. No idea.
You're gonna click on it and see, dude.
I was just gonna stare at it. Stare at the link. I don't know who this is, so I don't want to.
Okay. All right.
It's
well,
not a name that I recognize.
Maybe we have a parent to be.
Maybe so.
Maybe of twins.
Who knows?
I don't know. Buns in the Oven. I'm wondering what the significance it is. So we got 20 team league. A draft is Thursday, and we certainly will let everybody know how it goes.
Right, but not too much because we all know how boring it is to talk for other people to talk about their fantasy teams.
That's right. Well, we spared you all the.
Speaking of boring,
the draft this year. Should we do that first?
Yeah, let's just talk about it. So last year, you may remember, and maybe at least in my view. But I'm a very critical of our podcast. Maybe one of the most boring moments in podcast history was when we drafted the 28 teams that we were drafting for our Vegas annual Vegas bets. So we spared you this.
You know,
year.
My room in the Venetian does not say it's boring because it has been paid for by you.
It has been.
And I'm planning on having you take me again next year to Vegas. I'm looking forward to it.
I know that you are, but I'm pretty happy with my drafts this year. And I'm just going to go through the highlights. I got Pittsburgh, Vancouver, the Kings, and Philadelphia. I'm pretty happy with that top four, where you have the Rangers, which is sort of the consensus number one at this point, Boston, Chicago, and St. Louis. I have no idea why you took Buffalo so high. That makes no sense. Why did you take Buffalo?
I don't think that is a bad pick. I think they have one of the best goalies in the league. I think they got tougher, and I think that they can make the playoffs. And if you make the playoffs with a good goalie, I mean, we've seen what that's done for teams like Montreal and New Jersey, and you know, they can score the puck. You know, they're not a bad team, and they almost made the playoffs last year. And I think in a kind of topsy-turvy 48 game season, they had some guys who underperformed. I felt like it was with the teams that were left, you know, I felt like it was as good a risk as someone like Detroit, who I think Detroit's got no chance to win the Stanley Cup. None, you know, and not that I think Buffalo does either, but I think they're in the same boat.
But you could have taken Tampa Bay. You could have taken, well, I guess, Washington.
I wouldn't want Tampa Bay.
I was stupid and I took Washington again, but at least I took them at number 14 this year.
I like my picks because I think the two that you didn't mention that I think are, you know, dark horses are, I like Kevin Carolina, I got to tell you. Like,
I mean, not on that bandwagon at all.
I am. And I think that they've got a shot to win that division and be the 3 seed. And we'll see what happens, you know? And I told you last time, we have a beer bet on it. I have the Oilers. So
yeah,
here we go.
Yeah, you got the Oilers.
Money where my mouth is, dude.
Speaking of which, the thing that sort of started this whole thing was someone tweeted at us. Because there was an NHL preseason power rankings, which I didn't see who wrote it initially, but it was tweeted at us, what the heck? The Sharks are at whatever number, very, very low. And so the two stories are the Sharks are at number
23
out of 30. Okay.
Hold on. Go down to the bottom, dude. Go down to the bottom. I want to see. Dude, you have 1, 2, 3 of the bottom 5 teams in your pool, according to Dater.
This is Adrian Dater, so I'm feeling really good about my picks now.
All right.
Because I think his pick... I hope you didn't put your draft list together based on Adrian Dater's power rankings.
No.
he put the Pens and the Rangers, but he put Edmonton as number three, which makes no sense. I know it's the really sexy pick because they have all these young guys. Yeah. They are, and still, in my opinion, I'm going to say it until I'm proven wrong. They are 2 years away from being good. They went and who did they get? They got Fistrick? Did they
get Fistrick? Yeah, I mean, that's a decent depth pickup. I mean, I think the problem
he's
is with
five, maybe.
Yeah, well, you know, Andy Sutton is hurt. You know, they have some injury problems on their blue line. I think that that's a good pickup for what they got him for. You know, he's a depth guy. The thing with the Oilers, and I think the thing with this season, is that it's going to be wildly unpredictable. And we'll see if playing together, the core of that team, playing together already for 3 months, they theoretically have a leg up on everybody else. And we'll see if they can overcome it. If Dubnyk can even be ordinary, you know, they might be decent. Because, Nick Schultz is not a bad player. Smead is decent. Schultz, you know, we'll see how he plays in the NHL. And Ryan Whitney, when he's healthy, is a decent player, you know. So their blue line is not awesome, but it's not awful.
It's not good, dude. I mean, Nick Schultz as much as the next guy, but
this
come on.
Team's not going to beat you 2-1. They're going to beat you 7-5.
Yeah, that's true.
This is the old school Gretzky Oilers that we've got going on here.
Yeah.
Like in terms of the style of play. And if they open it up and they, you know, draw penalties and they're coming at you with a third line that has Hemsky and Horkoff and Gagne on it, that's a problem.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
So
They better never stop scoring because they're going to give up a ton.
We're going to see them real early.
Yeah.
You know, we're seeing them in the second game of the year and, you know, and they're still paying Sheldon Surrey. God bless him.
Of course.
I see that on GapKey.
I know.
I got to tell you, I almost took Boston first and I'm glad I didn't because I got them too. And honestly,
Boston, huh?
I think the Bruins, if I had to pick a team that's going to win the cup this year, I'm going to take the Bruins. I think the Bruins are, they have the same team except for Tim Thomas coming back.
Mm-hmm.
They had a hangover last year, cup hangover. Nathan Horton is back. They're adding Dougie Hamilton, who could be, you know, a Calder, you know, conversation piece.
Yep.
Absolutely. I like the Bruins.
Yeah, you look at this team, it's hard not to like the Bruins. Although, dude, we are supposed to be doing a Western Conference preview.
I know, we got derailed. It's your fault. You started talking about Dater. Okay, well, let's start not in our division. Let's start in the Northwest, dude.
Okay.
So, tell me what you think about Calgary.
All right, so let me click on Calgary here, because I just want to have everything ahead in front of me. Ooh, it's so nice how they're so high in salary cap chart, and they're terrible. That's a great start.
So I'm taking it you don't like their team.
No, not at all. Same problem as they've had forever. They have one of the best players in the league, Jerome Iginla, and no center for him. There is not much. Mike Camilleri is a good player. Jay Bouwmeester is a huge albatross. I like Weidman. He's okay. And I like Giordano, but they don't have a whole lot of bright spots here. I don't see how this team is going to be able to compete in their own division. I mean, they're going to get crushed by Vancouver. They don't have the firepower to stay with Edmonton. Not that I think Edmonton is going to be, you know, take the world by storm this year, but there's just not a huge number of bright spots here on this team. I don't like it at all. I don't like the way that they're made up. I think they should have traded Iginla by now. They should have traded these guys and started over.
I agree 100%.
They have nothing to build on at this point.
100%. This is a strategic malfunction by Jay Feaster, who I think we thought when he came in and took over for Daryl Sutter that he was going to go about this the right way, and he's almost made it worse. Like by
Yuri Hudler making $4 million a year.
What? Yeah, I mean, that's a bad contract. Dennis Wyman's a bad contract. And you know, the funny thing is that Iginla is in a contract year.
Yeah.
So is he going to stay? Like, if you're him, do you stay? Like, why do you stay?
I think Iginla is sort of the northern Shane Doan.
God, I mean,
he's going to stay, I think.
That is,
unless they completely say, we want to move on and we don't want to spend
$5 million. I think they'll want him to stay. It just seems like for him, like, he'd want to get the hell out of there. But, you know, this team has some good players on it. They'll win some games some nights, but
I'd take Mark Giordano off their hands.
Yeah.
No problem. I'd happily take him.
It's just not the right mix of guys, and I don't have any expectations from this team of being.
They're going to be in the cellar.
Yeah, they could finish in last in the Northwest. How about Colorado, dude?
Colorado. Let's see where we're at here. I know a lot of people were predicting this team to be terrible. I'm not on that bandwagon. I think Colorado is going to be a little bit closer to 2 years ago than they were last year, where, you know, they were sort of a pain in the butt for the Sharks. They got some good young players. Gabriel Landeskog was our pick for the Calder last year. Yeah. So good for us. They got some good guys. We talked about P.A. Parenteau being a good signing. I remember in the offseason, what, 12 months ago or whenever their free agency was. But yeah, they don't have a bad team either, and they got a guy like Milan Hajduk who is still okay. You know, he still was great once, not so much anymore, but still good. You know, I definitely like them basically at all facets better than Calgary. Again, I don't think they're going to be able to compete with Vancouver, but you know, they could be a bubble team. I could see them as the 9, the mm-hmm. 8, the 9, the 10 in that area, yeah. West.
I think the key here is Ryan O'Reilly,
yes,
going to re-sign, or is he going to stay in Russia, you know? Mm-hmm. And he seems to be holding out for, you know, I think reportedly $5 million a year.
Big,
you know,
bucks.
But you look at what they did. I mean, they signed a guy like David Jones for $4 million.
Yeah.
In the scheme, you got to give O'Reilly 5, mm-hmm. you know? And I don't know what they're waiting for. It's not like they have, you know, a ton of salary committed. You know, they have $54 million in cap payroll. You know, they need to do the right thing. And, you know, with Kobesu and Hajduk and O'Byrne coming off the books next year, you know, do the right thing. And your team is finally headed in the right direction again.
Right.
You know, don't screw it up. Yeah. If they can get O'Reilly in here, I think this is a team that no one's going to want to play. They're annoying. They're annoying.
Agreed.
So.
Agreed.
Potential playoff team.
Okay.
Edmonton, dude.
Edmonton, this is where we diverge. I still think they're 2 years out. You know, obviously the offensive firepower in the young players is just awesome. You know, maybe one of the best young offensive teams we've seen in a long time since the early days of Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews and Patrick Sharp. That's what this team could easily be with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Nile Yakupov, Taylor Hall, and Jordan Eberle. These guys are insane. They're going to be insane in a couple of years, you know, given nothing bad happens or they don't tail off or whatever. But I just don't think they have the D or the goaltending to compete. And I don't like their chances this year. And we'll see how those guys come along. That's all I want to see. Because if Ryan Whitney gets hurt again, he's been injury prone in the past, they have nothing left.
Right.
That means your number one defenseman is Nick Schultz. You're in trouble.
Right.
You're in trouble there.
There's a couple ways they could go here with this. They've been pretty patient. They've been very lucky in terms of getting the picks that they've gotten. Yeah.
Big time.
And, you know, for the state of that franchise, you hope that they go about it in the Pittsburgh way and they just wait for it to come together and they make the right signings and it's an attractive place for people to play and everybody kind of, you know, gels at the right time. And, you know, I don't think they're going to win the cup, but this is not a team that I'd want to play if when healthy. No way. Like, I mean, they can come at you with 3 scoring lines. Their fourth line, you know, with Ryan Jones and Eric Bélanger and Ben Eager is not bad either. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not a bad set of forwards. The D is the issue. Will they decide to turn one of their 4, you know, young players into a elite defenseman? You know, can they get, you know, a PK Subban?
Right.
You know, or a Nail Yakupov. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, can they pull that off? Do they have the stones to pull that off? You know, we'll see. But
if they get better, and I mean, I certainly think they're going to be better, right?
Right.
They're not going to get the number one pick again. If they're better and they're in the, let's say, in the low teens, you're not going to be able to find the elite young player at that draft position. And if you go another 2 or 3 years and you don't get a PK Subban, you don't get a Cam Fowler, you end up becoming the Ducks and you have great offense and you have nothing else.
Right.
And that's going to be the danger for the Edmonton Oilers. If they have all this firepower and no defense, that you just can't win with that. It's just not possible. I just don't think you're going to find teams that can't exploit you that way. So that's going to be the question. Can they find a way to either draft or trade for the right defenseman to mature at the same time as these guys? Because that's really what they need. Because Ryan Whitney's a good player, don't get me wrong, but you can't field a championship team with Ryan Whitney as your you know, power play quarterback.
Sure.
Okay.
Dude, Minnesota.
Minnesota. The big, that's the controversy of the offseason, right? Two huge signings, and then the owner is suddenly, I can't believe these contracts that everybody's signing. What's wrong with everyone? How could you sign these contracts? So Suter and Parise, Healy, it looks like it's going to be a Healy, Koivu, Parise possibly line. You know, that's pretty good. That's a pretty dangerous line. I've always liked Tom Gilbert on the blue line. I think he's a damn good player. But besides Ryan Suter and Tom Gilbert, they get thin quick as well. So that's why I don't have great hopes for Minnesota. In fact, I'm rooting against them because I think it's lame what they did in terms of signing those guys and then claiming that these long contracts are BS. So,
yeah, they got five new guys. They got Suter, Mitchell, Pau, Konopka, Parise. Too many changes, not enough camp. You know, this is going to be a team that maybe would have made the playoffs if they had had a full docket of preseason games and a full camp and a chance to start slow. But I think they're going to start really slow and not be able to figure it out in time, which is just fine. And I think that's a nice little bit of karma for them.
Yeah, I think so too. I agree. All right, dude, what else we got?
Vancouver, last team in the Northwest.
Vancouver. So they're certainly my division winner. The Sedins actually are trailing off a little bit in point production the last couple of years, if you look at the numbers. So they may not be as dominant as they're not point per game players quite anymore, which is interesting. But Ryan Kessler is a good player, although he does fall down a lot. And I guess Booth got hurt. I think I read that Booth got hurt.
Yeah, the issue with Vancouver is injuries. You know, Booth is hurt. You know, unknown right now as we're recording how serious it is. Ryan Kessler is out, and he's out indefinitely. You know, and nobody seems to know. You know, there was a quote by his agent back in December saying months. So,
wow.
You know, is he going to miss this whole season? Is he going to come back in April, like, or March? You know, no one really seems to be saying, but that's huge. I mean, that's as if the Sharks lose Joe Pavelski. Like, yeah, that's a big, huge, you know, they're asking someone like Malhotra or Andrew Ebbett to fill Ryan Kessler's shoes. That's not even close.
Yeah,
you know, it's not the same kind of player.
But they do have some secondary scoring that's, you know, Chris Higgins has played well. Alex Burrows is good. Mason Raymond is good. If Booth isn't super injured, he can certainly contribute. You know, they have plenty of firepower to go around, and they have a D line that is unmatched in the division by far, with Bieksa, Jason Garrison, Ham Hughes, Ballard, and Edler. I mean, that is a great top six, one of the best in the league. So
don't forget Cam Barker and Jim Vandermeer.
Yeah, I don't understand either of those signings.
Yeah, I think that they are still the cream of this division, but I think they are vulnerable. And
I agree.
If they suffer another injury to like a Raymond or Burrows, like they could be in trouble, and you could see one of these bubble teams like an Edmonton or a Colorado give them a run, you know, if they struggle. And the Luongo situation seems to be at least on a low boil right now, and he seems to be at least publicly okay with just being on the bench, which I think I don't buy that.
No,
but they don't seem to be willing to kind of pull the trigger on make a panic move. So,
which is probably to their credit. I'm sure there's some teams out there that would take Luongo off their hands, but
yeah,
that contract's not as easy to move as it once was.
No, it's bad. I mean, cause then when he retires, you're stuck with it. And it seems like they might be stuck with him too. Okay, let's look at the Central, dude.
Yeah.
Chicago.
Okay, so the question is who's going to win this division? I know you picked Chicago, certainly is the, in terms of our draft, is the highest Central Division team picked. It's hard to disagree with that in terms of what they got. They got a really nice set of forwards. They have a really nice set of D. They're The goaltending is the question mark for Chicago, and they're going to live and die with this goaltending team. Ray Emery and Corey Crawford. We all thought Crawford a couple years ago was going to be the guy. He hasn't really proven it yet. So, but still, any team with Kane, Taves, Sharp, Hossa, Boland, Victor Stahlberg, I will take it. You know, that's a team that's nice. And certainly they have plenty of good D, maybe the best pairing in the league right now with Seabrook and Keith. So, yeah, I think this is probably going to be the division winner. But you saw me take Detroit, and I know they lost Lidstrom, but we'll talk about Detroit in a minute. I'm never going to count Detroit out. I can't count them completely out. So
yeah, this team struggled last year and was a disappointment, I think, around the NHL. And I don't think that they're going to be disappointing again. You know, they basically got the same team back with the addition of Michael Roosevelt.
Yeah. Oops.
And
I don't know. I'd play Nick Leddy over Mike Rosenwald.
And they might. But I think the Blackhawks could be extremely dangerous once again and be a giant thorn in everyone's side. And I'm not looking forward to playing them for sure. I think out of the Central, which is a division I think that's gotten weaker, you know, they kind of stood pat and got stronger in the division. All right, Columbus.
Okay, Columbus.
Oh, where are you? St. Louis. St. Louis, dude.
Well, the big question for St. Louis is, can they take the next step? Because this team has a lot of great pieces with Backes and Oshie and Perron and so forth. And Jackman, we like, and Pietrangelo could be an all-star if he isn't already. And Halak is a great goaltender. They got rolled by the Kings in the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, after kicking the Sharks' ass, frankly, they got rolled by the Kings. So I think, at least in my mind, that's the question mark, because this team looks so solid against the Sharks and they wilted against the Kings. And the question is, can they keep that backbone going? Because that seems to be sort of the key to this team, is they have this system that works so well. And if you can break it the way the Kings did, they may just fold like a house of cards. So I certainly like the way this team's built, don't get me wrong, but that's the big question mark for St. Louis. Can they be tough in a tough division, and can they stay strong in a difficult playoff matchup?
Yeah,
I'm not so sure.
I want to see them do it again. You know, I'm not rooting for them. I'm saying, what I mean by that is, I'll believe it when I see it again.
Right.
You know, we've seen teams like this have this kind of success within these systems, and then the next year it doesn't quite work out because everybody has figured out how to beat them. They've had guys who had career years who can't duplicate that kind of production. You know, is Brian Elliott really going to have that kind of year again? I mean, that guy's never played like that before in his life. You know, is he really going to be that strong? These guys who maybe kind of played a little bit out of their skates, you know, can they do it again? We'll see. You know, in a division that is getting weaker, I think them standing pat, really only losing Koliakovo and Arnott, you know, they're in a good position to be successful. Who are we going next, dude?
Where you want to go, dude?
Let's go Detroit.
Detroit. Where are they? Where am I?
Down. Right. Good.
Okay, so I don't know. I have difficulty counting on a team that has Datsyuk, Zetterberg, and Franzen, period. The end. End of story. But then you look at it, you look at a defensive core without Nicholas Lidstrom, and you got Nicholas Cronwall, who's signed for the next two decades. And then you start looking at Jonathan Erickson, who looked good sort of once upon a time. Ian White, who I wish the Sharks had kept. Now they have Carlo Koliakovo. Jakob Kindle is the key to this defensive core. You heard it here first. Jakob Kindle needs to step up and take big minutes for this defensive core to have a chance. Kyle Quincy, scary. They're on a knife's edge, basically, because this team could be the Ducks as well, with great offensive firepower and D that can't back it up.
You could not have made a more perfect analogy. I mean, I think that's exactly who they are. You look, the Ducks D is better than this. And that's not good,
dude. I'm going to look at that
for a
minute.
That's not good. All right.
Surrey Boshman, Brian Allen, Tony Ludman, Lucas Sabisa.
I would take that group of six over who the Wings have.
Really?
Yeah, because you got Kyle Quincy, who was not even in the league like 3 years ago. You've got Jonathan Erickson, who was playing, he's a sixth, like a 5-6 defenseman who's going to be playing, you know, 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
You got Cronwall, who a lot of people think is a 3-4. He's going to be playing 1-2. And you got Ian White, who has, you know, we liked him, but he's not a top two defenseman. I mean, he's not.
He's a good power play quarterback.
But he's not an even strength top two defenseman. You know, there's a difference there. And I think they're very vulnerable, you know, and if they were as young, if this was 10 years ago, I'd feel the same way I do about the Oilers, go, oh, they'll just beat everybody 7-5.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they're going to be able to keep up like that. So, you know, adding Samuelson and Tutu and striking out on Suter, you know, there's something not going right for me right now in Detroit. And that's, I think they're vulnerable. And
they're more vulnerable than they've been in 5 years, but I can't count them out.
Well, you wouldn't count them out, but I don't think that they are a Stanley Cup threat. I don't look at them as a team that has, as they're, you know, constructed right now, and that's not to say they couldn't make a trade. They could. They have cap space next year. That they're a team that is going to make a run, or that I would love to see them in the first round, actually. I think they're very vulnerable.
True.
And if something happens to Jimmy...
As that, with that roster.
Right, right.
With that roster.
But if Jimmy Howard gets hurt and they throw in Jonas Gustafsson, you're not going to be like really excited about that. That's their backup this year. I think I even saw Ty Conklin.
I was just going to say Ty Conklin, dude. Yeah, but they have Ty Conklin?
That's bad news, dude. Okay. Columbus.
Do we have to talk about Columbus?
Okay, we'll skip it. Nashville.
There's no point. That's
it. I just, next to Columbus on my notes, I wrote next.
There's really no point in talking about it. No,
they're the worst team in hockey for sure. Yeah. Nashville, dude, Nashville.
Okay, Nashville. Someone made a prediction on Puck Daddy that Shea Weber is going to do worse than Ryan Suter now that pairing is broken up. And I cannot believe that. Shea Weber is a perennial Norris finalist now. He will be for the next few years. The question with this team is going to be the same question that we have every single year about this team. Do they have enough scoring? And we're going to find out the same answer that we found out, and the answer is no. They got Pekka. Can they ride the best defenseman and possibly the best goaltender in hockey to a good enough record to make it into the playoffs and piss somebody else off enough that they can score enough goals to take it to the second round? My answer is no. Martin Erad, David Legwand, and Mike Fisher as their top three paid forwards. That is not good. I'm not a fan of Sergei Kostitsyn. What else they got? They got nothing.
Well, you know, there's a lot of pressure on some of their younger players like Craig Smith and Colin Wilson to be able to deliver some goals. And I don't think those guys so far have proven that they're going to be able to step up and deliver that. You know, they have a player I like Ryan Ellis. I think, you know, he could have a really good year if he's playing with Shea Weber. But, you know, replacing Ryan Suter with Scott Hannon isn't exactly where you want to be going with your team. And is this the year, finally, that Nashville doesn't make the playoffs? Against my better judgment, I will say yes. You know, I think that
we make this call wrong every single year.
We say yes, and every year we're wrong. But this year, I really do think that this is the year that they're not going to make it this year. All right, dude. Yeah. The Pacific.
Okay.
Shall we start with?
Who we got? We don't need to talk about the
defending champions, the Kings.
The Kings, dude. The Kings are just as good as they were last year. They have the exact same freaking team.
Wait.
Almost.
Anthony Stewart.
Yeah.
Don't forget him.
For Kevin Westgarth, dude.
And two picks.
what a great trade for the Kings. I mean, I think someone described Kevin Westgarth. They said, he's slow, he's overpaid, he doesn't have a lot of points, and he sucks. and for that guy, they get an NHL player and two picks. That's a pretty good trade for the Kings.
That was not a good trade.
That Anthony Stewart is going to set the world on fire, but as far as a fourth line, I might take Anthony Stewart over the kinds of guys that we got right now.
I don't know about that, but... You know.
Andrei Kopitar, I believe, is still hurt. That's the big question mark for the Kings.
Right.
Everything else is pretty much a known quantity. Simone Gagné can get a concussion at any time. But other than that, this is the team to beat in the Pacific. right?
Yeah, agreed. And I think the Kopitar injury is significant, you know, and he's not going to be back for a couple weeks, which could be enough for another team to jump out ahead of them if they struggle, you know, and he's the straw that stirs the drink,
yeah.
You know, so, you know, you could see them kind of struggle a little bit. You know, Jonathan Quick, I think, had back surgery, right, in the offseason. So, you know, that's something to keep an eye on, you know, as he enters his extension next year. But, you know, the Kings, it's hard to pick against them, and they're definitely the Sharks' biggest competition in the Pacific, dude.
Well, you talked about Brian Elliott a couple minutes ago about how he may not be able to replicate his season. I think the same might go for Jonathan Quick. He's been a solid goaltender for a while in this league, and maybe a better track record than Brian Elliott, certainly, but I don't know if he's going to be able to put in a lights out performance like that every single year. And even if he doesn't, this team is plenty good, but still, that might be interesting to see if he falters a little bit. Could they let in a couple more goals? I don't know. I hope so. We're going to need them to. Ducks.
All right.
They're going to have to trade one of the big three. The big three being Getzlaff, Corey Perry, and Bobby Ryan. Everybody thinks it's going to be Ryan. I think it could be any of them. You know, if you're pinning your offensive hopes on a 41-year-old Finn, that's a problem, right? I mean, Teemu Selanne is a freak of nature that he can still play at this level, but what do they got here? They got nothing.
Yeah, I mean, outside of, you know, their four top players there, you know, Selanne, Ryan, Perry, and Getzlaff, you know, this is a team that really also needs to, like Calgary, you know, choose a different direction to go in and build around a couple of guys and start over. And that's clearly not the direction that Bob Murray, as misguided as he is, appears to be taking. Sheldon Surre and Brian Allen does not equal a Slovakian vacation for Lubomir Vyshnovsky, who is apparently not coming back, but we'll see.
I don't see how you look at this team and ask how they could possibly be competitive with either the Kings or, for that matter, really the Sharks in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think this team could win some games, and I think if they get it together, you know, they could be in the mix for a playoff spot. But because Bob Murray's not afraid to make a trade, and if the bottom six isn't working out with some of their younger players, you know, they could go out and get some sort of short-term Band-Aid fix. But it's not like they're going to win the cup, you know?
No.
This is a team that was Brian Burke's team that has some of Brian Burke's old spare parts around and doesn't have the same supporting cast.
Yeah.
So
not good.
Not going to work.
Let's go to Phoenix, dude. A lot of what we saw last year here from Phoenix. You know, a decent blue line, definitely a decent blue line with Keith Yandel and Zbigniew Mihalik. Goaltending is a question mark. After Shane Doan, you know, this is a systems team, right? This is the Dave Tippett systems team, much in the same vein as St. Louis. Will they falter if they can't, if they get a tiny chink in their armor and the system breaks down? You know, I can't believe in this team any more than I can believe in a team like Nashville. I don't see how they can win a lot of games with this lineup. It just doesn't make any sense. But yet they do.
How are they going to replace Ray Whitney's 77 points? Like,
yeah, they're not.
That's a huge load of scoring that they don't seem to have an answer for on this team. So
I agree with
you. A team that struggled to score last year lost their best scorer, and that's it, dude. I think that's a death sentence for them right now.
Paradoxically, their best scorer goes to Dallas, and Dallas may actually be worse. Dallas makes no sense to me at all. I have no idea what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
They traded Mark Fistrick to me, which means that they don't plan on winning any games this year. Not that he was like the centerpiece of their blue line, but still, Alex Goligoski is going to be completely wasted. Stefan Robidas is going to be completely wasted on that blue line. Trevor Daley is okay. He's pretty good. But after that, Jágr, Whitney, Louis Erickson is quietly very good and people don't notice. But Derek Roy, that's it. That's all they got. They're going to be at the bottom of the Pacific, right? They're the worst team in the Pacific.
I don't know if they're the worst team in the Pacific. It's going to be close.
And Phoenix?
Yeah. It's so interesting to read so many different people's takes on this because a lot of people seem to like what they've done. I mean, Jágr was average last year in Philly.
On the third line in Philly, basically.
I mean, he was an average player, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how many points did he have? Look it up.
Let's see.
40s?
Let's take a look here. Jaromir Jágr.
54.
54 right. points.
You know, a good year. 19-35. Yeah, a good year, okay? Mm-hmm. Not great, but a good year. But he's playing with some of the best players in the league, you know, there.
Right.
With Claude Giroux and some of those other guys at times.
Yeah.
He's not going to be having that same kind of shielding here in Dallas.
He is the best player in Dallas.
I don't like what they've done. I don't get it. And, you know, I think that a team that had an identity, which was they were tough to play against, has gotten extremely soft by adding Jágr, Whitney, and Derrick Roy. And
getting rid of Steve Ott.
Yeah, getting rid of Steve Ott, who was the poster child for your team. Bad move. Strange identity. I don't get it. Good. Hope they suck. See ya.
Jamie Benn?
Great player. Unsigned. You know, I hope that drags out forever.
Exactly.
That's another thing that doesn't make any sense to me. You know, I mean, for you to give Kari Lehtinen an extension worth almost $6 million for a guy who's done nothing. I mean, like, mm-hmm. this guy's done nothing to not pay one of the bright young stars in the NHL an extension that you need. You desperately need him for this team to be successful in
right.
the long term. You know, that you're going to drag this out. You know, Joe Nieuwendyk, what you doing, bro?
I don't know. That Mark Fistrick trade doesn't make any sense to me either. Not that it's inherently a bad trade, but, dude, where are we at here? Are we almost at an hour, dude? 56?
Yes.
Oh, man.
That's awesome. Dude, this is the season preview.
It is the season preview.
And there hasn't been a good content-filled podcast in a long time, dude. So I feel
you might
no
say there
regrets.
Hasn't been a content-filled podcast ever.
I have no regrets.
I have none.
What do you expect? So we're going to make it to an hour. What do you expect from the Sharks on Sunday? I mean, what are you expecting to see? You expecting to see some good hockey? You expecting to see a really ugly game? Like, what do you think this is going to be like?
What is it, Phoenix?
It's Calgary.
Oh, it's Calgary. You know, I think it's going to be ugly. There's going to be some new faces on the blue line. I think we're going to see some nice clicking offensive movement with Joe and the boys up front. I think the defense might be a little bit interesting. I don't think any team's going to be firing on all cylinders. I fully expect them to beat Calgary because Calgary sucks. But, I think it's going to take them a couple weeks. And actually looking at their first couple of weeks of schedule, they have a few away games and then they have a nice home stretch. I think the Sharks are actually in a pretty good position. You know, they got kind of lucky with the schedule. They're going to be home for a little while. They can get their feet under them. They can do okay. And, I like their chances. I have to say, I do like their chances.
Yeah, you know, starting on the road in Calgary and then Edmonton and coming home and playing Phoenix, you know, that's three games that a team like them, they should win.
Right.
They should win those games, you know, so we will see if they deliver. How short of a leash are some of these players on, and how short of a leash is Todd McClellan on going into the season? How hot is the hot seat? Is it cold? Is it warm?
I think it's cold.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty cold. Doug Wilson isn't the... You have a strike shortened or a lockout shortened season. You have a sprint to the finish in terms of the schedule. Everybody knows crazy things are going to happen. Doug Wilson doesn't appear to be the type to, you know, like the Lakers fire the coach five games into the season.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
That won't happen. But you certainly hope that the Sharks aren't going to have a slow start to the season. I think
if they start like 0-5-2, then there's going to, I mean, it's going to get a little uncomfortable, no doubt.
Sure. But for a team that had a disappointing year last year, that underperformed, that struggled and was embarrassed in the playoffs, if they struggle out of the gate, I think it's going to be really hard for a fan base that's already frustrated to stay invested.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree.
So I'm really curious to see how these first couple weeks go. And you know, with health and everything else, you know, there's some opportunity here with some teams that are on the decline, like Detroit, LA with some injuries, Vancouver with some injuries, that if the Sharks can put it together, you know, that window of opportunity we've talked about in the past, I think it's cracked open a little bit more than it has been last year.
Yeah.
Because of some of the other situations with teams around the NHL. I think the East is clearly dominant.
Yes.
You know, the best teams are in the East, Boston, the Rangers, the Penguins. I mean, that's the cream of the crop right there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if
Toronto.
If you're in Vegas, you're going with one of those three, probably.
But the thing is, only one of those teams can come out of the East.
Right.
So you get a weird team like St. Louis that suddenly gets hot and figures out what they're doing.
They sure, make well, anything
to,
can
you,
happen.
You make it to the finals.
Sure. Well,
I mean, hell, the Devils, and,
yeah,
the Devils won two games in the finals.
I know. And anything can happen,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But there is at least noticeably off the top of the season, to me, a difference between the three best teams in the league in the being from the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
I think that it's pretty clear. You know, the three best teams are out there.
I agree, dude. All right. Good season preview, dude.
All right, dude. I love it when we get to an hour. My favorite.
Good.
So we'll be back after the first couple of games.
Yeah, probably.
Break it down. I'm sure there'll be some more news, things that'll happen in the next few days that we won't get to cover. But looking forward to some hockey starting on Saturday, dude.
Absolutely. I'm very excited. I already got my game center thing going, so
ooh.
I'm signed up for that again.
You're signed up.
Yeah, I can watch it through my Xbox now.
Ooh.
I'm doing that.
Nice.
Xbox.
All right.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.